did a story recently on those highly caffeinated, highly alcoholic drinks like Four Loko that are sending young adults to the ER. Today, we want to turn our attention to their moms. Remember the outcry when the New York Times reported on a new trend in playgrounds, kids with their juice boxes, moms with their wine? Christy Mellore called it a cocktail play date in her book, The Three Martini Play Date, A Practical Guide to Happy Parenting. It was a somewhat funny book, but it dovetails with a not-so-funny statistic. Working Mother magazine cites a study showing the number of women aged 30 to 44 who said they abused alcohol, and that number has doubled in the last decade. Prescription drug abuse has jumped 400%, and most of it is in secret. Lane DeGregory is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter for the St. Petersburg Times. She also wrote the piece for Working Mother. It's called Addicted Moms, Everybody Knows Somebody. And Lane, we understand Working Mother asked you to do this article because of the Diane Schuler story. Remind us of that.
Diane Schuler was a 36-year-old mother of two who went camping with her family in New York last year. And police later said she had taken 10 vodka shots and smoked marijuana before she drove her 2-year-old daughter, 5-year-old son, and 3 nieces home from the campground. She ended up on the wrong way on the parkway, crashed into a Chevy Trailblazer, and killed everyone but her young son. Her husband insisted she was not an alcoholic. She was a wonderful mother and a full-time employee of a cable company, an executive there, and everybody just kept talking about, how could that be? How could she have kept this secret life for so long?
Well, her husband and friends kept saying this can't be, but she had a blood alcohol level of more than twice the legal limit. And you, having written this article and talked to other moms, you're not that surprised, are you, that someone could keep this a secret?
You know, I'm not surprised. I spoke with more than 40 women who had led these lives mostly in secret, who'd been good moms, good employees, good wives. A lot of the abuse or the overindulgence seemed to happen at night after the kids had gone to bed.
For instance, you talk about Cindy. How would she drink at night?
Cindy was a manager of a bookstore, an executive of a bookstore, and she would put her kids to bed, read them a story, and then she would do her other, you know, the kind of mundane mom duties that we all come home to, vacuuming and doing laundry, packing lunches for the kids. But the whole time she was doing that, she was drinking vodka.
It's sort of a female version of the male stereotype of the 50s. You know, dad was so tired when he came home that mom, you know, would have a martini waiting for him because he deserved it at the end of his day of work. But that also reminds us of the other stereotype from the 50s and 60s, and you write about it. You know, you say, you know, in the 60s, women were given Valium, you know, Mother's Little Helper, the Rolling Stones sang about it. And even before that, well, you write about how in the late 1700s, women were given Coca-Cola laced with cocaine so that they could get through their all their chores in the afternoon. So do you think there is really anything new to what people are now calling a trend of working moms drinking?
I don't think it's new. I think that maybe it's shifted a bit because women traditionally weren't seen in bars, so they weren't seen as drinkers, you know. But the sad and really shocking part of my research here was also the prescription drugs. I spent 2 or 3 days in the first female-only drug court in the United States, which is right here in Florida. And almost all the women that came through there were working mothers, and all of them had gotten hooked on drugs legally at first. Their doctors had prescribed Xanax and other mood-altering drugs to help them cope. And they got addicted very, very fast. You mentioned the 50s stereotype of the husband, and that husband, when he was done with work, he came home and put his feet up and watched the evening news, and wife fed him dinner. These women are coming home, and there's no one to make them a cocktail or put their feet up. They've got to go do their whole other second half of their lives. And I think instead of relaxing or taking time off, the women are saying, we don't have time to do this. Yeah. My only way to relax or even to fall asleep at night is to have a drink or pop a Xanax.
What does it take for women to reverse this? I mean, we know enough about alcohol studies to know that willpower has nothing to do with it. And, you know, how much you love your family may have nothing to do with it if you've really tripwired an addiction. So how do they turn it around if, in fact, you know, it's hard for a mom to take a month and go into rehab?
Yeah, most of the women that I talked to had actually come to some point in their addiction that they had to get help. You know, either they were in court, they'd been arrested. A couple lawyers and TV personalities I talked to who'd gotten DUIs with their children in the car. It took something like that for most of these women to go and get help.
And by the way, Lane, hold up there, because it says so much about, you know, how monstrous alcohol and drug addiction can be. You know, you would think that you would never, a mother would never get in a car with her own children having had, you know, more than a drink. But that's sort of the, you know, the evil of the addiction. They will.
Yeah, there were way too many stories like that I saw come through that drug court. Women who'd fallen asleep while they were driving their cars with the kids. You know, women who got pulled over on the way to a Little League practice to drop a son off. They think they can handle it. I think a lot of times these women are super women in so many ways that they can go ahead, you know, whatever you put on my shoulders, I can take. And maybe that's the same way with alcohol. I'm not sure the mindset of somebody that knowingly gets into their car after having a few sips, you know, drinks with their kids in the car. We can't fathom that, but yet it seems to happen more often than anyone would want to believe.
And so how do they turn it around, especially since who's going to take care of your kids if you go off and go into a month rehab?
Some of the rehabs actually allowed the children to be part of the treatment. One of the women I talked to had an 8-year-old son. Well, he's 8 now. I think he was 6 when she was taken into police custody, and she lost custody of him for a while. But as she worked through a case plan to get him back, he actually lived with her at a drug rehab treatment center and with other women and their children. And from the experts I've talked to, a lot of people believe that the best way for women, mothers, to recover from addiction is to include their children in part of it. Mm-hmm. In fact, one counselor in New York told me that most of the referrals for moms that they get are from adolescent and teenage children. And this one counselor said, yeah, our most successful treatment programs are the ones where the children have asked for help for the mom, and the children have actually gone through some of the rehab with their mothers.
Huh. Well, you write that in at least one case, it helped moms stay sober to think about their kids.
Actually, yes. All three of the women that I talked to, who actually agreed to be interviewed with their names for this story, said exactly that. The thing that keeps them from going back is what they call playing it forward and imagining what's the worst thing that could happen if I had a drink. The woman who'd had her son taken away, her name was Dana. She said she just closes her eyes whenever she wants a drink and pictures her son's face crying and screaming as the police carried him away. And she knows she never wants to do that again. That's sort of her touchstone to keep from going back.
That's Lane DeGregory. Her article about drinking and drugs and moms for Working Mother magazine is called Addicted Moms, Everybody Knows Somebody. Lane is also the Pulitzer Prize-winning writer for the St. Petersburg Times. She's been speaking to us from St. Petersburg. Lane, thanks so much.
Thank you.